Muffy Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate. Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice or different cultures. Today we are celebrating 5 years of Muffin Talk. 5 years ago, I was welcomed to my very first radio program by Joan Lardner-Rivlin, who was then the chairperson of Access Radio Planet FM. Today, my visitor is Jo Holstedt. Jo, a warm welcome. Hi to my radio program.
Kia ora, thanks for having me. And congratulations on 5 years.
Thank you. Jo Holstedt is a one-time blogger, two-time playwright, a mother of a four-year-old, and she continues to work for our radio station Planet FM. In the year 2000, she received the coveted Fifth Form History Prize for Relentless Cheerfulness. Wonderful, Jo. Jo is the communications manager for Planet FM, and that's why I thought it's a good occasion to have her in the studio to talk about Planet FM.
Great.
The radio program is Muffin Talk is on Planet FM 104.6. Jo, I understand that you are not only a technician at the radio station and a communications manager, but you're also a writer. Can you tell me more about this side of yours?
Yes, I can. I'm always a bit self-conscious to describe myself as a writer, just because I don't think I've done enough to deem myself worthy of the title. But I have always found writing the easiest and most natural way for me to express my thoughts or my ideas. So it's just something I've always been prone to, and when I've got something that I want to express, that's how it comes out most easily. And I've been lucky enough to have a few opportunities where I can do that in a public space, whether that's through some sort of essay online or writing a play, which is something that happened. I was working with a friend who's just a very dear friend of mine, Michelle Ang, who is an actor, and we were wanting to do something. I was wanting to do a bit of writing, you know, looking for a creative project, and she was wanting to do challenge herself as an actor. So we thought, what's something that we can do just with our own skills that we can see through to fruition? So that's how I got to write the second play that I did, which is certainly more noteworthy than the first one.
What was the second play about?
It was called Chopstick, and it was actually about her experiences as a New Zealand Asian actress in New Zealand. She's Malaysian by heritage. She was born in New Zealand, and she often, as happens, gets categorised as an Asian actress. And she was having those difficulties of going, well, yes, I am Asian, but New Zealand is my entire experience, so you can't put me in that particular category and expect me to be
Asian.
Yeah, be what you think Asian is. And so it was a real look at stereotyping and cultural identity and issues of race and identity in a New Zealand context, which, for listeners, I'm a Pākehā woman, so I'm very privileged in terms of being quite invisible in this country compared to some people. But we wanted to discuss some of those things and her experiences in that space in a way that was accessible, so not finger-pointing and not blaming, but just sort of bringing some things to the surface that we thought needed to be discussed.
Sounds wonderful. Are you writing a book about it too?
No, I haven't had thoughts about writing a book. That could be something further down the track, maybe.
Maybe about the play, so that those who can't go and see the play.
Yeah, maybe. It'll be something to, yeah, maybe I'll put the script out there one day.
And how do you combine your writing and your technical support and communications at the radio? How do you combine everything?
Well, I haven't been lately. My son is four, and since he was born, I have done very little writing. I've done a couple of pieces here and there, but it's not been something I've focused on. So when I'm at work, I love being here doing what I'm doing with Planet FM. When I'm at home, I love being with my family. I'm very lucky to have lots of great friends in Auckland. So I don't I don't write a lot, but that's okay, because if I need to write, I can, and if I really wanted to, I would, but at the moment, it's gone to the wayside.
Now, maybe your son will be an inspiration for you to write something different about a little child whose mother is torn between the writing and Planet FM.
Yeah, that could come up.
For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or visit our website or Facebook page at Tengaka Waiora Mercy Spirituality Center. My visitor today is Jo Holstead, and she works for Planet FM, for the radio station on which we have Muffin Talk, and we're celebrating 5 years of Muffin Talk. Jo, can you tell us more about this radio station, Planet FM 104.6? Who are the program makers?
It is such a pleasure for me to talk about Planet FM today. The program makers at Planet FM are incredibly diverse, because that is why community access radio exists. The idea, the kaupapa of access radio is radio that is, or media that is by, for, and about the diverse communities of Auckland. So whether that's somebody coming to make a program in their language, in their first language, that might be the reason that someone comes to make a program here. It might be that they have a hobby that isn't well represented elsewhere in media. So we've got, you know, a few programs like a fishing program, for example, where someone went, that's not something that's covered in mainstream media, why don't I make a show? So what we have is an incredible cross-section of Auckland's wonderful different communities, and they all pass, you know, through our door and under our roof. And it's just really beautiful that you see people that might not actually otherwise come across each other in Auckland, because we're a big sprawling city. And the only other place I can think of like this is really somewhere like the library, where you go, there's a public space that is really for everybody to be there. And of course, everyone has their own program, so it's not everybody here at once, except for the end of the year where we have a big get-together, which you will have attended, and it's great to see everyone there. But yeah, in terms of trying to describe who our program makers are, everyone that comes through here seems to be really full of love and kindness and generosity. So many laughs, such good sense of humour.
it's like a family, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And it is. It is very much like a family, yeah, because you have a whole lot of different personalities and ideas and concepts, but there's a real strong bond over the fact that you're serving your community.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of programs do they make? You already said about the fishing program. It's usually programs that are not on the mainstream market, right?
Exactly, that's right. The main reason that we're here is because mainstream radio serves a lot of people, but it certainly doesn't serve everybody, and it certainly doesn't serve every need. So at the moment, we have about 30 different languages represented, including English. We've had up to 55, I think, in the past, but at the moment it's about 30. So that's people who are more comfortable speaking in their own language and want to share news or stories or ideas in their own language. And then there's belief programs, and there's hobby programs, there's music programs where people, Albert, for example, does vinyl revival, and he plays music of a particular era that you don't tend to hear on the other station. So it's a pretty wide range of things. The Labour Party does Red Alert Radio, so there's politics in there as well. It's quite a big mix.
And everybody brings his or her passion with them. And some program makers are groups, and others are on their own, just like me.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah, which is great. I just love that radio has the power to be all of those things.
Yeah. And some record themselves. And Muffin Talk is always pre-recorded. But that's a reason. One of the reasons is because I can get different people on different days, and I couldn't do that all at 8:40 on Friday morning. So I have more flexibility. But some programs are live.
Yep. We're about 50-50 at the moment.
50-50.
Yeah. Mm. So it's still quite a lot of live programming. And there's benefits to both. Yeah. Pre-record gives you some flexibility, but live radio is spontaneous. You're reacting in the moment. You can receive phone calls. There's benefits to both, depending on what you're wanting to do.
And the programs are usually half an hour, an hour. What is the...
It really varies. We actually have one 10-minute program. Our one Gujarati program is 10 minutes. And our longest programs, well, Korean Catholic Radio, for example, does 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. So there's a real range, and obviously different program makers have different abilities and different time constraints or time availability. So it depends.
And so you mentioned what kind of programs they make, and you said also belief. How many, you'd have different religions in, mm-hmm. Among the program makers.
Yeah, and I don't actually have the number off the top of my head. But part of the reason that we do have a number of Christian programs, but one of the reasons that Access exists is also for belief systems that aren't represented. You know, Christianity is fairly well represented in other parts of radio, but there's certain Sai Baba devotees, for example, don't have a space elsewhere. So there's certain belief systems that aren't represented that have a spot on planet because the people or the church wanted to.
But I think that you have more or less the ethnicities in Auckland, many of the ethnicities, and many of the religions that exist in Auckland. And the radio program can be heard worldwide.
Yeah, that's right. That's what's so amazing is that you do your little spot and then you immediately have it available as a podcast that you can share with, yeah, literally anyone.
Do you know when people tune in from outside New Zealand?
On the website, yes, I think we do have a way of measuring that. I haven't looked at it lately, to be honest, but I do believe we can measure that. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And so you see, do you also get reaction from people from outside?
In terms of feedback,
yeah,
not very little, to be honest. I think probably program makers from program to program might get things back, but to be honest, we've spent a lot of time asking people for feedback because it's really useful, but unless people are really angry about something, they're usually reluctant to give us their thoughts.
So I think that we have to promote this idea that the positive feedback should also go to the radio station so that the radio station can say, well, that's what the people say about the radio program.
It would really be great if anybody's listening and wants to give us good feedback, feel free.
And do some people or some broadcasters record the face, the movement, and do a video recording of it, or just the voice recording?
There are a few people who use live streaming on Facebook, which is currently a controversial topic for other reasons, as I'm sure you know. We don't have a facility for video. Just at the moment, we don't have the resources for it. And there's a whole lot of implications around video. But there are people who do hold up their phones and live stream themselves while they're doing their live broadcast, which is admirable.
But the challenge is when you're on the radio, you have to describe things very well in order for others to understand what you're talking about.
Exactly, that's right. There's an art to it, but that's what they call radio theatre of the mind. Yeah.
Well, it's similar to writing because you write and you can't see it, so you
that's
have
right.
to describe it very well.
You have to create the image in other ways, exactly. Yeah.
So if you have a lot of different community groups, how do you get the funding to run a radio program, radio station like this?
That is an ongoing question for us. We are funded, 50% of our operational costs are funded through New Zealand On Air, Kia ora New Zealand On Air, but we have to find ways to get the rest of the money. Now, a big part of that is airtime costs. So when people make a program with us, there is a cost involved. And I have to say that has been the same price for 30 years. It has gone unchanged because as much as it's difficult, we appreciate that people don't have lots of money. There's not a lot of money around. So there's a little bit of advertising that comes through, but it's mostly airtime costs and that money from New Zealand On Air.
Because I think that as you are reaching communities that are often minorities, they don't have the big funding.
And less so in the last sort of 10 or 15 years even. We've seen programs who used to find routes for funding, you know, applying for funding, and that sort of has dried up a lot, which is we've really noticed. Yeah.
And have you seen any bigger changes in the time that you've been here? You've been here for how many years? 10 years?
Nearly 8 years I've been here, nearly 8 years. Changes in terms of the content or certainly, it's a bit of a sad change to note, but I do feel like programs going off air. So you sort of came on and you go, oh, we had an Ethiopian radio and that's gone. And then we had a Somalian group broadcasting with us for a while and they're gone. And you see these communities that were able to broadcast and then whether it's because of funding or human resource weren't able to continue. Then in the same score, you get new groups come through. I'm not sure if I've noticed a particular pattern. It's interesting. I'm sure you could say names of programs that were with us 5 years ago and I'd go, oh yeah, that's right.
But yeah. Now with the websites, if anybody wants to know about Radio Planet FM,
yeah,
there is a good website with pictures of every program. Can you say a little bit about the website?
Yeah, absolutely. So the website is planetaudio.org.nz and that has all of our programs on there. They've each got their own web page with information about the program and podcasts, the latest podcasts, so the most recent episodes of that show. And it's like you say, it's really visually focused because a lot of our audiences aren't necessarily first language speakers. English isn't necessarily their first language. So we wanted it to be colourful and we wanted it to be easy to navigate and not too heavy on words but more heavy on the visual aspect and easy to use. So it's been really good. You know, there's always technical issues with the website and things that never run as smoothly as you'd hope, but it's been serving us very well.
So when somebody wants to listen to any of the programs, how do you go about?
So I guess there's a couple of different ways you can come at it. If you know the program name, you can literally go planetaudio.org.nz/...
Muffin Talk.
Exactly. Hey, why not? Exactly. And no spaces in the program name, so that will take you there. And alternatively, if you just go to planetaudio.org.nz and you'll get a language list come up, choose a language that you are interested in. It might be English, it might be something else. And then you'll get a list within that language of what's available and you can literally scroll through and see what takes your fancy.
And then you have different groups like what you said, belief in sports, hobby or something like that.
Yes, except the initial menu is the languages and then they're alphabetized if you know the name. So there's a couple of ways of coming at it, yeah, although not at the moment categorized into those subsets just because that got so tricky.
And so all programs, once they are broadcast, they are available online.
Correct, yeah.
And then they're available for how long?
So that always shows the latest, I think it's five, so the most recent five programs. And then some shows, I think including yours, Beate, have an archive. So yes. That's interviews that may have happened a few months ago, but they were non-time specific and they had, you know, they were really worth hanging on to. So there's some programs will have those archives as well where you can go back and hear the older material.
I did archive some interviews about dream work, for example, about spiritual direction, about the core values of the Spirituality Center and some of the historic programs where you know about the Sisters of Mercy who arrived on the 9th of April, 1850, which is also an anniversary. So these kind of interviews that, as you say, they are timeless.
Yeah.
I keep them on the archive, and so anybody can have a look, and if they're interested in the information, that's wonderful.
It's all available, exactly. And with some of our programs, a lot of our programs, in fact, they're doing news, they're talking about events that are on, and that's why we don't archive everything, because you take up so much space with things that, if you listen to it 5 weeks later, it's no longer relevant. So that's why we have a position of you can archive if you want to, but we don't make it a default position.
Yeah. And yeah, I understand that you are also the person who looks after the communication sector in general, and you would also be the person who receives complaints or, as you say, negative feedback, but it could be positive feedback. In the future, hopefully a lot more positive feedback after this program.
Fingers crossed.
And have you ever received any serious complaints?
I have to admit, so I've been in the communications role only for about a year and I haven't received, we have had a couple of complaints in that time. Nothing I would describe as serious. We take all complaints seriously. None of them have been upheld in the time that I've been here, but what we tend to find with complaints is what you see with complaints to Access Radio, it's something else that's playing out in the community elsewhere. So within a particular community, there's some sort of tension or disagreement, and the radio using the complaint system is seen as a sort of way, a tool for bringing somebody down. So what we've found is that people make a complaint because they're angry about something within their community, but as far as anything being upheld, that hasn't happened since I've been here. So, yeah, we take them seriously, but we haven't had anything.
I could imagine that's quite challenging for you because you have all these languages that you might not speak. I don't know how many languages you speak, but imagine it's a language from a deep India or Asia, Africa, or I don't know. And how can you control anything? Because you have the code of ethics, so every program maker has to sign the code of ethics.
Correct.
But how do you check if it's really kept?
We truly, and this is actually not dissimilar to mainstream broadcasting, really, but we rely on complaints. So it's very little. I mean, we can hear what's happening on the English language programs without any issue. And if there was something that we were concerned about, we might bring it up. But we really do rely on people in their communities stepping up and mentioning if there's something untoward or something that needs to be flagged. That's the only way we know.
Yeah. Because it's like a big human family.
Yeah.
I think that the radio station is like a good example of a human family of different ethnic groups, different languages, all interested in communicating within their community, but also among themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I have had a few visitors who are program makers here in the studio. I had Richard Leckinger from
Keep Auckland
Beautiful, and I had Charles Enoka from the Kiribati program. And I think that's also good to get to know other broadcasters.
I love that. I love it, yeah. Well, exactly. And most people are here because they understand the power of radio and they want to serve their community and they want to provide something that's not provided elsewhere. So everyone's coming here with a similar reason, even if the way that it presents on the radio is very diverse. Yeah.
And if you think back when television came up, some people said, oh, that's the end of radio. But now television is almost replaced and radio is still there.
I think that I feel like at the moment there is quite an obsession with the screens and visual stimuli, and I can understand that, but I think there's a real power in audio in that it's cheap. You can do other things while you're listening to audio, and it doesn't take up necessarily so much of your time and energy in the way that video does, because you have to be watching video, and if you don't watch it, then things can get left out. Information can get left out. So I think there's a certain fad and a trend towards more video and visual stuff. And I don't think that will go away, but I do think people will come back to realizing how powerful radio can be.
But also you can use it in your car when you're standing in the traffic jam. You
exactly.
can download the program. You listen, you put it on a USB stick, on a CD or something, and then you can listen to it on the radio.
Yeah,
or
just right through your phone.
Or through your phone even, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can still focus on the road.
Yeah. Please keep focusing on the road. Yeah, that's right.
So what is your... what are your biggest joys when you work for Planet FM and the biggest rewards?
Yeah, that's the joy, like, truly for me personally, the joy is getting to meet all the wonderful people that come through these doors, because there's just so many friends that I've made from being here, and I feel so lucky to be able to do a job where I just get to meet people that I just fall in love with. So it is magical. That's from a very personal perspective. Within that, and from in a more broader context of the station, I think that everyone who works here gets a kick out of meeting someone who doesn't have any broadcast or radio experience but wants to do a program, wants to do something for their community or share their thoughts and ideas, and you see them come in feeling apprehensive and uncertain about how that will look, and then you train them and you take them through the steps and you teach them how to put a show together, you teach them any technical things that they need to do, and you see them in a few months' time and suddenly they're just doing all of that. And we always use the example of driving a car, you know. It's once you know how to do it and once you've got the hang of it, it's easy, but it's still it's a really big thing to put yourself out there like that, and seeing people go through that process and come through the other side is really rewarding.
Yeah, because when I started, I had no experience 5 years ago.
Exactly.
I was just asked, well, why don't you do a program?
And yeah. And I got to hand it to Joan. She was good like that.
Yeah, she was my first guest. And she did a lot of things in between. So that's something with a radio program, you can stop for a moment and you can come back and do something else.
Is this for the pre-recording?
Yeah, that was the pre-recording.
Yeah, that's right. For anyone thinking of live radio, you can do things in between, but you got to be very quiet about it.
Well, I can feel that you're the right person for the communications. That's wonderful. How many staff members do you have?
So there's 4 members of staff at Planet FM. We're all supposed to be full time. I'm currently actually 3 days a week because I went home with my son on Mondays and Tuesdays, but I should be here full time and I will be very soon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When he goes to school.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah, but 4 of us and then, of course, about 100 program makers.
About 100 program makers.
Yeah.
So when Planet FM gave Muffin Talk a reward for being under the top 10.
Well done.
So that's among 100 people.
Yeah, and possibly about 100 programs, but actually, yeah, more program makers than that. But yeah, you guys have done really well. In 5 years, we've had programs that have been with us for 30 years.
Yes.
Which is fantastic. But yeah, for you guys to come in and shoot up to the top 10 was very impressive. Mm-hmm. We make you do workshops for the other program makers.
Thank you so much, Joe, for having come here.
Thank you.
Well, you don't
me.
Have to walk very far. You just go from next door to here.
It's very
handy. Radio program.
Yeah.
But I thought that it's a good occasion to introduce the radio station and to tell people what it is about.
Absolutely. And if anybody wants to make a show, planetaudio.org.nz/make-radio is how you apply, and would love to hear from people.
You just have to fill in a code of ethics and have to follow it.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you very much, Jo.
Thanks, Peter.
And what is coming up in our Mercy Spirituality Center? Tonight we will continue with our last session of this year's Lenten series. Sister Catherine Wilds Pickard will lead us through quiet and reflective time today, the 12th of April, from 7 to 8:30. And after Easter, our next muffin meeting will be on Wednesday, the 1st of May, 10:30 to 12:30, with Rachel Marr and Eric Matthews, 2 pastoral workers to the Catholic Deaf. Their presentation is about, with sign language, we're equal and accessible. Then on the 8th of May, we will have our annual intergenerational forum, where we are inviting students and seniors to register with us if you like to discuss topics of relevance in a positive atmosphere. This is an event with a limited number of participants, so please register with us. On the 18th of May, Sister Catherine Wilds Pickard will facilitate an introductory workshop to Christian meditation. Please note that the workshops with Father Stuart Zeller are cancelled due to ill health. On Wednesday, the 5th of June, Brother Kieran Finn will give a presentation on the Holy Spirit and on Pentecost. For all events at our center, please register with us per phone at Auckland 09-638-6238 or through our website at www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. And I wish you all a blessed Friday and a good week ahead. It's going to be Holy Week. And thank you, Joe, for this interview.
Thanks for having me, Beate.
on air, online, on